Welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2017 and 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on October 6th at 8 p.m. in Maymandy Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. This concert will be conducted by Grant Llewellyn. The program for this performance of the North Carolina Symphony will include the following. The symphony comes on the stage to perform In Sacca, Opus 9 by Jean Sibelius, and that will be followed by a work entitled Apotheosis by Eno Hujani Rautavaara. Then, following the intermission, the symphony returns to the stage with another work by Sibelius, Symphony No. 2 in D major, Opus 43. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. Jean Sibelius was born December 8, 1865, in Hämeenlinna, Finland. He died September 20, 1957, in Järvenpää, Finland. The premiere of En Saga was in 1902, or rather it was composed in 1892, revised extensively in 1902, and then the first performance was February 16, 1893, by the Helsinki Philharmonic Society, conducted by the Helsinki Philharmonic Society. Now here is the overview. Sweden relinquished Finland to the Russian Empire in 1809, where it became an autonomous duchy with significant control over its own affairs. Beginning in 1870, however, these privileges were gradually taken away under the program of Russifying the many ethnic minorities within the Russian Empire. While Swedish had been the language of the educated middle class, Russian repression aroused such strong nationalist feelings that it sparked a revival of the Finnish language. Jean Sibelius was born into this nationalistic environment and in 1876 enrolled in the first grammar school to teach in Finnish. Sibelius was by no means a child prodigy. He started playing piano at 9, didn't like it, took up the violin at age 14. His ambition was to become a concert violinist, and all his life he regretted not following his dream. He had also begun toying with composition as early as age 10. His first major success as a composer came in 1892 with a nationalistic symphonic poem cantata titled Kullervo, Opus 7, which was performed by the Helsinki Philharmonic Society, but never again repeated in his lifetime, largely because of the vast forces required for the orchestra and the chorus. The conductor of the premiere, his friend and mentor, Robert Kajanas, commissioned him to compose a purely orchestral work, a light piece to appeal to the Philharmonic audience. Sibelius followed up with a series of symphonic poems based on the Finnish national epic the Kalevala and on other Norse legends, starting with En Saga. Here the story gets murky. Sibelius stated that earlier in that year he had already composed a version of En Saga for a chamber ensemble which is no longer extant, making unclear what relationship, if any, there is between the orchestral version of En Saga and the chamber work. At the time, Sibelius was also active in a circle of artists and intellectuals who were on a saga kick. There were several artistic sources, including paintings that Sibelius could conceivably have drawn upon as the narrative inspiration for his tone poem, but he never divulged more than hints regarding the story. To confuse things further, there were a couple of literary interpretations of the work after the fact. At another time, Sibelius stated in a letter that he was thinking of the symbolist paintings of Arnold Berkeley. Well, 10 years later, in 1902, in preparation for a concert in Berlin, Sibelius revised In Saga extensively. To add to the mystery, nearly 50 years later, Sibelius stated, "Of all my works, In Saga is psychologically one of the deepest. I could almost say it contains my whole youth. It is an expression of a certain soul state. At the time I wrote In Saga, I was experiencing very much that was distressing. In no other work have I revealed myself as in In Saga. For this reason, all interpretations are for me quite alien." Well, to top it off, there are disagreements about the meaning of the word saga, which is translated as everything from fairy tale to Norse epic. Now here's what to listen for in this work. All these hints, statements, and suggestions, however, should be taken with a grain of salt. Sibelius was notorious for making contradictory statements at different times about the meaning of his music. From a purely musical point of view, En Saga presents a definite narrative quality. But with no help from the composer, it is up to the listener to infer its meaning. The tone poem is replete with fully formed melodies, unusual for Sibelius, but melodies that all seem to emanate from a few musical cells. When a composer revises a work, it is sometimes difficult to distinguish old from new material. Yet in the middle, it is the Sibelius of the Second Symphony, composed in 1901 and 02, that we hear, revealing a clear seam. In terms of its emotional content, Sibelius notates several grand pauses in the piece when the momentum slows to zero. At one of these places, a lonely violin with long pauses between phrases brings a completely new, mysterious character into the piece. As it nears the end, the tempo ramps up with the suggestion of galloping horses. The conclusion, however, is strangely quiet, initiated by a lone clarinet and fading with the cellos and basses playing the principal theme. The instrumentation for En Saga is as follows: piccolo, 2 flutes, 2 oboes, 2 clarinets, 2 bassoons, 4 horns, 3 trumpets, 3 trombones, tuba, percussion, and strings. And the next work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony during this performance is Apotheosis by Eno Johanni Raudvara. Raudvara was born October 9, 1928 in Helsinki and died July 7, 2016, also in Helsinki. The premiere of Apotheosis was in 1996. Now here is the overview. Eno Johanni Raudvara is probably the best-known Finnish composer after Jean Sibelius. He studied at the Sibelius Academy in Helsinki and, on the recommendation of Sibelius himself, received a Koussevitzky Foundation Fellowship to study in the U.S., where his teachers were Vincent Parachetti, Roger Sessions, and Aaron Copland. When he returned to Finland, he taught at the Sibelius Academy from 1966 until 1991. Raudvara composed in most genres. His 12 concertos include one for double bass and one, Cantus Articus, a concerto for birds and orchestra that features his recordings of Arctic birds. In the course of his career, he experimented with most contemporary musical languages, but even his serial experiments retained a melodic tone. His 8 symphonies and 8 operas cover subjects from Russian mystic Grigory Rasputin to painter Vincent van Gogh. In the opera Vincent, which describes various events in the life of the painter, Apotheosis, 1996, is a revision of the final movement from his 6th symphony in 1992, itself the symphonic reworking of music from Vincent. Now here is what to listen for. Raudvara's soundscape in Apotheosis is similar to that of Sibelius, but less tuneful. As this 7-minute work unfolds, it features at any given moment different sections of the orchestra, punctuated by solos, particularly for the woodwinds. The string writing is more romantic. The apotheosis of the title is represented by the gradual addition of more and more instruments with an increase in volume and texture, but the pace remains even throughout. The surprisingly quiet conclusion belongs to a solo bird song for the flute. The instrumentation for apotheosis is as follows: 2 flutes, 2 oboes, 2 clarinets, bass clarinet, 2 bassoons, contrabassoon, 4 horns, 4 trumpets, 2 trombones, tuba, harp, timpani, percussion, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage with the Symphony No. 2 in D major, Opus 43 by Jean Sibelius. It was composed in 1901 and 1902. The first performance was March 8, 1902 by the Helsinki Philharmonic Society, and it was conducted by the composer himself. Now, here is the overview. In order to enable Sibelius to work undisturbed, the Finnish administrative government gave him a pension for life in 1897. For the next 28 years, he composed the symphonies and tone poems that made him famous. But in 1925, at the age of 60, he essentially abandoned composing, probably as a result of the ravages of alcoholism and the bipolar disorder that had plagued him throughout his life. He remained silent until his death 32 years later. Writing symphonies was for Sibelius a lifelong preoccupation that he described as confessions of faith from different periods of my life. Composed in the winter of 1901 and 02, close on the heels of his patriotic Finlandia, the Symphony No. 2, with its blazingly affirmative conclusion and optimism, reflected the nationalistic spirit of the time. His statement that all his music was either consciously or unconsciously programmatic opened up a Pandora's box for interpretation. The public's belief that the symphony contained a fundamental political message made it an instant success, despite the fact that Sibelius himself ascribed no program to it. Now here's what to listen for in this work. The first movement opens with a lyrical theme by a pair of oboes in their middle range, accompanied by the lower strings, creating the dark, cold sound characteristic of Sibelius, which hints at the stark Finnish climate and landscape. The movement consists of a string of melodic fragments, rather than full themes, woven together into a classic sonata form. Timpani rolls and a long pizzicato passage on the basses open the second movement, spiraling higher and higher, preparatory to a stark Russian-sounding theme for the bassoons. It creates an even more desolate sound than the chilly oboes of the first movement. The ominous mood builds up to an outburst in the strings, which has been interpreted as a symbolic of Russian oppression. The scherzo for strings alone has a frantic quality about it, particularly in its irregularity of its phrasing and refusal to settle on a tonic. The pace slows down considerably for the trio, a low oboe solo accompanied by winds. While the trio begins on an emotionally neutral plane, it quickly adopts a plaintive mood that is taken up by the entire orchestra. The finale, which to its first audiences symbolized nationalistic triumph, is indeed both optimistic and grandiose, with heavy use of a trumpet fanfare motif. Like the first movement, it consists more of freely developed motifs than full themes, but they are so frequently repeated as to be unforgettable even on the first hearing. The instrumentation for the Symphony No. 2 by Sibelius is as follows: 2 flutes, 2 oboes, 2 clarinets, 2 bassoons, 4 horns, 3 trumpets, 3 trombones, tuba, timpani, and strings. These symphony notes were composed and copyrighted in 2017 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes for the entire 2017 and 2018 season of the North Carolina Symphony. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.